Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk to a guy who is one of my favorite people outside of Waco. Let's say that. Kurt Heelan, the man behind the NBA coverage that is excellent over at NBC Sports. A sometimes drinking buddy, but like all LA people. Kurt Heelan, good morning. I was just talking to another buddy of mine and then another. All my friends who don't live in Manhattan Beach, which is where I live, we only hang out when we leave Los Angeles. That's the only time I see these guys, including
I'm not allowed in Manhattan Beach anymore after the incident in the 80s. So, you know.
Yeah. I think I saw your picture on a flyer, actually.
Probably still up at the post office there, yeah.
Do not admit. All right, there's so many things to get into. Let me start at the end. Let me begin at the ending here, what I would normally ask you at the end, which is the MVP ballot, which are all coming due, and it's a little different format this year where we're going to get a note and then have like 30 seconds to fill it out or 17 hours or something like that. For me at least, and I know you're going to have your own view, for me at least, that guy in Denver is one. I know people are making a push for Luka. I find 2-5 to be brutal. Tom brought up the executive producer yesterday whether or not Anthony Edwards belongs on it. And then I had been thinking about that. I've been thinking about Jalen Brunson. I don't want to be a captain of the moment. Jason Tatum's the best player on clearly the best team. I mean, what the Thunder have done. How do you feel about considering guys like Anthony Edwards or Brunson on that ballot somewhere?
I'm not sure Edwards is there. I think Brunson is somebody I legitimately considered for the fifth spot. I will tell you, I'm with you now. I've come around. Look, to me, it's so close between Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but I'm going to vote Jokic 1, SGA 2, Doncic 3, and I think he has a very good case, and he's come on strong, but he just ends up third for me. I'm going with, by the way, Tatum in the fifth spot.
Are you? Yeah, that's the big question. Yep.
I get the Brunson argument because he's had to carry. If you're talking about value to a team, it's a legitimate case. It is a legitimate case for how much he's had to carry a load there, especially with, you know, Randall missing time and Mitchell Robinson missing time and OG Anunoby, you know, missing time. In terms of value to the team, it's a legitimate case, and maybe I'll flip between now and the end, but I'm going Tatum. I just think he's earned that spot.
And Kurt Heelan on the show. Okay, so I get it, and I it's not easy. I'll just say this in defense of, I think the argument for Anthony Edwards is deflated a little bit after last night's game because it sure looks like Denver's going to get the one seed. Now, there's still some games to go, but that's sure how it feels. But my thinking, Kurt, was if the Timberwolves had gotten the one seed with a defense is extraordinary, but a pretty inconsistent or not spectacular offense, and no Cat, and over the course of these games, Anthony Edwards has been the offense largely, and then whoever sort of shows up on any given night, and the fact that I don't have the record in front of me, but 13-6 or whatever it is, I don't know, that didn't sway you enough to because it is also hard to leave Jason Tatum off, just because none of us would be allowed in Boston. There'd be physical safety concerns for those of us that didn't put Tatum on our ballot when we go to Boston.
Yeah, and it feels like we're going to go there because who in the East is challenging them right now? Right. Every other team seems to be falling apart. The other thing is I feel like Edwards, and this is a step in maturity that we'll probably see because I'm sure he will be on future ballots for me. It feels like he didn't take every game seriously. Like if it's a team they thought they could roll, and I don't think it's just him. I think this whole team had a vibe. But if it's a team they thought they could roll, they weren't totally serious night in and night out. And that's why it's important for them to have somebody like Mike Conley on the team and Rudy Gobert and some veterans. I don't think they were as focused night in and night out as a team like Boston was this year.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. It's an interesting year. Kurt Kielan here on the show. Kurt, I've been singing the praises of the Warriors for a while now, and I'm sure you know this, but if you go back, if you sort of bookend Draymond Green's return to the starting lineup after his second shenanigans of the year at the end of January, that Lakers game that they lost in double overtime, to the Lakers game the other night, which is a pretty big stretch of games. Over that stretch, the Warriors have the fifth best record in the NBA. They have a top 10 offense and defense. Defensive rating, I think, is fifth or sixth over that stretch. Their net rating is top five. Yesterday on his podcast, which I really think is really good, LeBron James with J.J. Redick talked about Steph in some detail and how they're always a threat with Steph. I know they have to get out of the play-in, and they could get to eight. I know that they have to avoid the Nuggets. I know that Draymond Green has dug them a gigantic hole, but have you come around to the idea, or am I alone on this, that if the Warriors are positioned properly in an actual playoff series, there's something I think that could happen there?
Yeah, I'm with you, actually. I was at the game the other night against the Lakers. It's a little bit of recency bias because they always look good when not only is Klay Thompson hitting, and he, by the way, has found his groove again and has played. He's never going to quite be pre-injury Klay, but he's looked really good the last few games. But going back to the dynasty 2014, 2015, 2016 type of years, they always look good when Draymond's hitting his threes. When he was like 5 for 5 in the first half, you're like, yep, this is their night, right?
Yeah.
But I am with you that I think that they have finally, it took Steve Kerr, frankly, let alone the entire team, but I think Steve Kerr in particular longer to come around to the identity of leaning into some of the guys like Podziemski, like Jonathan Kuminga, and giving them larger roles. Chris Paul really helped settle that second unit and then has done it when he's been healthy. So I'm with you. If they can find a way to avoid Denver in the first round, assuming they get out, yeah, you know, with all the caveats, I think they're more capable than like the Lakers right now of making a really deep playoff run.
So Kurt Kielan here on the show. Kurt, let me posit you another theory. And if you don't buy this, I want you to tell me, okay? I've been thinking a lot about this, and in fairness, it's not my idea. It's somebody I talked to around the league kind of put this in my brain. But in years past, even pre-play-in, if you were the 7 or the 8 or certainly the 9 or the 10, there would be normally a pretty serious gulf between your quality level and likelihood of success and the 2 or the 3 seed in the East or the West, and obviously the 1. I think my view is based on the CBA from many years ago, which was meant to create some parity, and it got stopped by Durant and sort of the weird reasons that Durant could go to a 73-win Warriors team under that system. My view is that there is a historical level of parity. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it. Maybe I should say that the gulf and the distance between teams that are outside of Boston, maybe Denver, that are 2 or 1 or 3, and the teams that are 9 or 10 are historically narrow. And if you just sort of look at, like, what the Warriors' record would be if Draymond hadn't gotten suspended, assuming they won at the same clip, they'd be in the 6th seed, right? If you look at a couple injuries here or there, it's the difference for teams being the 7 or the 4. I don't think there's that much difference in either conference, and certainly the West, between a 7-8-9 right now and a 2-3-4. I don't think there is that much difference. I think it's a pretty rare moment in the NBA. Do you share that view, or do you think it's just an anomaly this year?
I don't think it's not only, let me put it this way. Well, it's a change. I think this is the future. I think this is what the CBA, this is what Adam Silver has wanted. This is what the last couple of CBAs and the new one in particular with the second apron tax really has strived to do. He has wanted to flatten the talent pool out a little bit. He didn't want it. He, unlike his predecessor, does not think having super teams is the best model for the NBA to have, you know, these, you know, Miami, I guess Golden State certainly was one when they had Durant, right? Where there's like, hey, this is the team you got to beat and good luck, you know, and that's the bar to shoot for. He's wanted this more almost NFL style model, right? Where the talent pool is much flatter. And the new CBA, you know, Denver's kind of built for it as much as anybody. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get two stars that you can max out. A couple, you know, if you build your team right, you can put good quality role players around them to about five or six deep. And then you're going to have to count on, man, we need Peyton Watson and Christian Brown to step up this year because the way the payroll is structured, we're not going to be able to pay. You know, we're going to need guys on rookie deals to come through and really help. That's the new NBA. That's what this is going to look like going forward. And if you pile three stars together, hello, Phoenix, you don't have the depth to compete.
Yeah. Let me add, I agree with everything you said. I love it. I think it's really good for the game. Kurt Heelan here on the show. Kurt, what's going to happen when Philly beats the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs? Kind of kidding as a question, but kind of actually not kidding. I mean, there's some time to go, and the Bucks. If I were the Bucks, if I were anybody, I would want to avoid the two seed. But if Milwaukee plays the Sixers or the Heat, if Milwaukee loses in the first round of the playoffs, let me just say that. And I know Giannis is hurt, so that gives Doc even more cover to pretend it's, you know, someone else's fault. But what happens now? What happens next if the Milwaukee Bucks, after all the things that have happened in the last year for them, don't make it out of the first round of the playoffs?
Well, first off, whatever happens, it won't be Doc Rivers' fault if you ask Doc Rivers. You know that.
No, it's true.
It's funny. I was on, you know, I don't want to say I'm cheating on you, Bill, but I was on, I did Milwaukee radio recently. And the host was like, so if ask this question, if they, you know, flame out in the first round, Doc Rivers gets fired, right? And we get another coach. And I'm like, how many coaches do you think they're going to pay? Like, I don't,
right.
At some point, there would have to be some serious recriminations. They'd have to look at some stuff. But again, whatever you think of Doc, I don't think that completely falls on him. This roster they made very distinct roster decisions to go get Dame and let Drew Holiday go and kind of change the format of how they did things. I'm not, you know, Doc got thrown into the middle of that, and I don't want to absolve him of everything, but he was handed a chopped basket of things that don't match up and told to make a meal, and he's doing, you know, as well as I think he could at this point.
Oh, do you?
I mean, I'm not sure everybody there's buying in, but I don't know what was the better option. I don't know. What they had wasn't working either. So, I don't want to totally absolve Doc here, but there would have to be some serious looks at this roster and how they have to tweak it. And you know, by the way, Giannis is going to demand that, right? Like, he's not very subtle about his power anymore.
And he shouldn't be. And I'll add this, too. Maybe we're in the weeds here a little bit, but whatever. We're on Milwaukee, and I think Giannis is a huge story, and they're defending champions from a few years – not defending, but champions a couple years ago. I like the front office a lot. I know people in it. I like John Horst. But if Doc's not going to get blamed and the Bucks don't want to pay four coaches at once to coach that team, if I have that number right. It's hard to keep track. I think that is right.
It would be. Yeah, they're still paying Bud. I don't know how much longer, but they're still paying Bud right now. Yeah.
Crazy. And it is John Horst, the GM, he's the general manager in for the Milwaukee Bucks, who I think the real point of issue, if you can also point to what you talked about, which is just moving on from Holiday and how they did it and Lillard. But the decision to hire Adrian Griffin in the offseason, last offseason, when a lot of coaches were available, has led to a lot of things, I would argue now. Do you think that's a person? Because in a normal world, I'd say that's a person that's vulnerable. I am deeply skeptical, having talked to people, and I don't know, Kurt, but I'm deeply skeptical that John Horst, the GM, was out there pushing for Doc Rivers. I would, if you told me, and I've been trying to hear this from someone that would know, that Doc Rivers had managed above that general manager to a degree to get that job, I would believe that too, but maybe it's a front office problem in terms of change if it's not a Doc Rivers problem, if the Bucks continue to fail.
Let's remember, Adrian Griffin also got hired in large part because Giannis wanted him, right? Like, that was that. that those choices, those coaching choices were made to keep a star happy, and he signed an extension, so it worked. Ultimately, everything they've done the last couple of years, however it's shaking out now, has absolutely worked for them because he signed, right? He's staying in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's ultimately what they were trying to do. So now there's pressure, I think, on them to right this ship. They're not going to trade him this summer. But there's pressure on them to right this ship pretty quickly, right? Or he could advocate to be somewhere else if they don't, if they flame out in the first round again and things don't look good next year. So I'm just saying that. I'm sorry, Milwaukee Bucks fans. It's the kind of the way the league works and the kind of the way he's pushing right now. But they've got him for a couple more years, so they got that, and so I don't think Horst goes anywhere. But this is an old team, man. This is an old team. Chris Middleton's old and injured a lot. Obviously, Lillard's older. Brooke Lopez is older. They've got some real decisions to make about how they're going to compete with Boston that's not going anywhere. And the improving teams, I mean, Orlando's only going to get better. And, you know, we could run down the list. New York is eventually going to get better and get a start. Like, there's some really good teams in the East that aren't going anywhere.
Kurt Heelan, will I see you again at the bar, at the Marriott, at the Combine in Chicago next month?
It does not look like I will be in Chicago next month, no.
Okay. I was 80-20 to go. Now I'm 60-40. Okay.
Yeah, well, you should know. Actually, it is a great event. You should absolutely go. For a variety of reasons, I travel budget discussions make great radio, but we can discuss it some other time. I will not be there.
They do make that, – that's actually our C-block later today. Oh, we don't do C-blocks, yeah. And that's TV. Kurt Heelan, my friend, you're the best, dude. Thanks for jumping on.
Hey, anytime, buddy. Take care.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.